Good afternoon. Welcome once again to Red State Revolt. I am your host, Mark Falk. Today we're, I probably open every show by saying today we're sort of winging it. Actually, I'm going to get a drink of water here real quickly. Because I'm Mark Falk and I drink Dasani water because I like to throw these bottles in the disposal and pollute America. And in fact, I would prefer to put it into a styrofoam cup made by the Koch brothers because you put those on your shelf and they have a half-life of 1,000 years. So you know they're not going to go bad before you get a chance to use them. And actually, I'm just kidding. I am using a Dasani bottle. But I buy a case when we do a protest. The ones that are left over come to my house, and then I refill them with my water filter. So those of you who want to be environmentally friendly, go with that. Also, I'm going to go ahead and throw out something about the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers are now taking over public education, along with Betsy DeVos, along with Walmart, the Walton family. They are the people behind the charter school takeover of America. It is happening in Oklahoma right now. It has already happened in states like Florida. Florida is ahead of us. By that, I mean they've moved further along the path of charter schools. So if you feel like that you're hopeless, if you feel like that you don't have any way to contribute to this so-called resistance. And by the way, I don't like the word resistance because resistance implies defense. It implies a defensive move. We do not need a resistance. What we need in America is a revolution. We need to revolt. That's why we changed the name of this show to Red State Revolt. When Donald Trump became president, it became time to revolt. And actually, the time was even before that. So I'm going to give you a few little acts of revolution. And I know this is going to sound weird, and some of it may sound tepid to you. If you can, come out and organize. Come out and join some of join the rallies. They're fine. But what we really need is direct action. What we really need is for people to go make noise. Don't be afraid to stir it up. I had a very good friend of mine, Sarah Banna, who was one of a group of mostly women who protested with me at the state capitol in support of a 7% gross production tax in Oklahoma. Did that gross production tax pass? No, it did not. But several things came out of this small but spirited protest. One of the things that happened in that was that we elevated the discussion. We put our own legislators, and by that I mean not just the Republicans, but the Democrats. We put them on notice that we will not settle for a compromise when it comes to corporate welfare. We will not settle for compromise when it comes to making our corporations and our major billionaire companies, making them be good corporate citizens. And we're going to talk about that specifically in the next segment. I want to talk a little bit about Brahms, and they're moving forward. Next Monday evening is a public forum to discuss them bulldozing a historic part of Oklahoma City so they can build Brahms number, pretty sure it's Brahms number 25 in the metro area. And I don't hate Brahms, but I quit shopping there. I quit buying ice cream there. It's a damn shame because it's up the street. I like going there. But when they said, we don't care about our customers, we don't care about Oklahoma City, we don't care about being good corporate citizens, even though they're an Oklahoma company, and we like to call them a local company because we like to support as much as we can local entities from Oklahoma. And Brahms is an Oklahoma-based company, as is Sonic, as is Hobby Lobby, who I also will not shop at. And I'll tell you a story about Hobby Lobby later too. But Brahms, we'll talk about them in the next segment. Next Monday, put this on your calendar. I'll give you the dates and the time and all of that after the break. we need you there. We need you to politely tell Brahms, we need you to be good corporate citizens. I'm going to talk about that more in depth. I'm going to give out the number. If people want to call, we'll probably do calls after the break. 903-787-5887. I'm going to take a deep breath and get another drink of water while you grab an ink pen so you can write that down. So I don't know if we have Victor listening today, Mary Harris. We have so many good listeners who have been regular callers, and I appreciate that. And call in today, because otherwise I'm about to go on a Howard Beale network rant. You know, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And that's where I'm at. So we'll do that after the break. Everybody got a pen? All right, here we go again. 903-787-5887. That's 903-787-5887. So I'm going to go ahead and give you, since I started with the Koch brothers joke, I'm going to give you a way to commit a small act of revolution against the Koch brothers. You may not know this, but Georgia Pacific products, and I'm going to look this up while we're talking, are made by the Koch brothers. It is their main, hang on, I'm typing, apparently I cannot multitask, products. It is their one of their main sources of revenue, along with fucking America in every way they can. Let's see, Georgia Pacific's, they own tons of lumber. Quit buying their lumber. They own paper towel companies. They own, let's look at some of these. Georgia Pacific, they own Brawny. Brawny is Georgia Pacific. Quit buying Brawny paper towels. This is pretty simple. I'm going to look up some more for you. They own Daisy Company. Or no, maybe it's Solo. No, Dixie. There we go. Dixie Cups. I hate to say it. Everybody buys Dixie Cups. Everybody buys Dixie products. Quit doing it. Quit doing it. They own Angel Soft toilet paper. Quit buying it. So, see, this isn't that complicated, and there's an easy way to do it. Just simply memorize them. There's only about 8 or 10 Georgia Pacific paper products, and you'll see them in most stores. As you get to the counter, tell that store, quit carrying Georgia Pacific products. It's pretty simple, and all you have to do is when we go in to buy paper towels, we look at the little logo on the back, and you're going to see a Georgia Pacific logo. That logo means that is owned by the Koch brothers. You're giving your money to one of the richest families in America, and they are taking that money, and they are using it to influence laws in Oklahoma and to create a charter school network that will starve public education. To do right-to-work legislation, to do horrible things in mass incarceration. Their fingers are into every dark, ugly thing that is out there. So you want to help a little bit? 10,000, 100,000, 1 million people, 2 million people, look for the Georgia Pacific logo and don't buy it. That's really easy. That's a little act that can make you feel a little bit better. I do that with Brahms as well. I do that with Hobby Lobby as well, and that's a shame because I love Hobby Lobby and I love Brahms, their products anyway. What I don't love is what they have done as far as not being good corporate citizens. And I know there are people out there who will say, hang on, I'm going to look here. Am I at the break yet? We may be talking through the break this time. I think that's all right. We're starting the show late. There are people out there who will say, well, you drive cars, don't you? You're putting money into oil companies' pockets. Yes, yes, I do. I drive a Prius. I get 45 to 50 miles to the gallon. Well, you go to Walmart, don't you? Well, no, I don't. I've done it once or twice in the last several years when I had to. Absolutely nobody else carried that specific little product. So we can't completely get rid of everything. We can't get rid of all predatory companies. But you can put a dent in this. You can begin to make moves. Begin to make moves that send a message. You can show up on Monday at this town hall meeting, and you can tell Brahms that we love you, but you have to be good corporate citizens. All right, we've got J.L. Jones on. We're going to make him wait for 2 minutes. That's what my producer is telling me. And honestly, I was going to say, if he knew who J.L. Jones was, he would make you wait an extra segment. But or he would say, oh, my God, it's J.L. Jones. I can't make him wait at all. He's a rock star. We got to put him on right now. We can put you on right now, but then you only get 1 minute. I'm pretty sure you can't even say hello in 1 minute. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, what's up?
Not much. We're going to talk up to the break, and then we're going to keep you on through the break and bring you on afterwards.
How long will that be?
What's that?
How long will that be, Mark?
The break will be 2 minutes. We're going into 1 minute up until the break. And you can go to the bathroom, you can pour yourself a nice fresh beverage, you know, sign a couple autographs, take a couple of pictures, you know, the J.L. Jones rock star stuff that you do normally.
Yeah. You know, fuck bitches, take name, kick ass. You
know, okay. We've only got 30 seconds to the break. I'm going to warn you about something. You're about to have some women call you out when you say, fuck bitches, take names, and kick ass. And I'm going to be right there with them because, you know the same women I do. They don't take that shit.
Yeah.
They don't take shit from anybody. All right, we're going to break. We're going to keep JL on. We'll be back in 2 minutes. This is Red State Revolt. Thank you for tuning in.
Ever wonder if you're the only woman who runs errands in her yoga pants so it will look like she went to the gym? Or how about the only mom who feeds her kids raw cookie dough? Or are you the only one who cooks her family cold cereal for dinner? Do you need more laughter and less loudness? More self-love and less self-loathing? More joy and less judgment? You're not alone. Come to the living room. A place where we get comfy, candid, and confident together. Come seeking sanctuary and leave feeling renewed. We're saving a seat for you. Give yourself some living room today.
It's words you never heard.
Which U.S. state would you guess has the fastest talkers? Recent research by analytics company MarchX revealed that the nation's fastest talkers come from Oregon, Minnesota, Massachusetts, Kansas, and Iowa. What about New York, you ask? New York ranked near the bottom at 38, but New Yorkers do use more words. A New Yorker will use 62% more words than someone from Iowa who have the same basic conversation. What's another word for fast talking? Tachylia. America's slow-spoken or tardiloquent talkers were from North Carolina, Alabama, South Carolina, Louisiana, and Mississippi. What's a word for someone who likes to say the same thing over and over? A batologist.
It's words you never heard.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
We are back on Red State Revolt. I'm your host, Mark Falk, and I'm actually kind of happy that I've got J.L. Jones on the phone, and we're breaking away from politics for a minute because I'm about politicked out, and if I go off on a rampage of some kind, it's basically likely just to be a fuck everybody rampage. I'm out of here, mic drop, and then leave dead air for 30 minutes. So let's talk about music instead. How about that? That would be cool. Catch everybody up. Do the backstory first and catch everybody up on what you've been doing.
Well, recently, two or three months ago, I signed to Regard Records of Nashville. Now, that's a label that is operated and distributed by Sony Columbia through their Red Division out of Nashville and Los Angeles, there in L.A. My record is titled Chaos Theory, and we have Will Sexton, Bob Dylan's lead guitarist, is going to produce it and play on it. Denny Freeman, who recorded the Modern Time record with Bob Dylan, is going to play on it as well. He's going to play on a couple of tracks. And just the other day, we got Grammy-winning acclaimed drummer Jamie Oldacre from the Tulsa Music Hall of Fame is going to play drums on it, and he's going to give a copy of the record to Eric Clapton and arrange for me to be his opening act in Japan and at Madison Square Gardens next year. And Will and Charlie are going to give, and Denny, are going to give the record to Bob Dylan and try to get me a gig as his opening act. And I just got a phone call from Burbank or Los Angeles 2 days ago from Tom Petty from the Heartbreakers, and I'm going to be his opening act in 2019.
Wow. So did you record that? You should have recorded the call.
I should have, but I don't have the app, Mark.
Okay.
But it's great. He's reissuing the Wildflowers record from 1994 with bonus tracks.
It's a great album, by the way.
Great album. It's one of his best. You know, that and Damn the Torpedoes and Echo and maybe Highway Companions are arguably his greatest record. Do you know the Highway Companion record, Mark?
I'm not familiar with that one.
It has the main track is Saving Grace. It's a blues rock song in E major, and it's based on a John Lee Hooker riff. You know that. That ZZ Top thing, that riff.
Yes.
Great riff, great track. But instead of playing 20 or 30 or 45,000 seat arenas and stadiums, Tom is going to do a tour of small theaters and auditoriums and concert halls. So when he comes to Oklahoma, he's going to play like the Brady Theater in Tulsa. He's going to play like the Civic Center and maybe the Windstar World Casino in Tackerville. So we're super excited about that. Now, the best part is Tom is actually going to bring me out on stage with the band, with the Heartbreakers, to play It's Good to Be King and Crawling Back to You.
Wow. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
Now, and I met Tom. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm not insulting you by saying this. For the people who don't know JL, and there are a couple of you left in Oklahoma City, not that many. But for the people who don't know JL, he's been at this, I'll say, for a minute.
Mark, it's been 13 or 14 years, brother, maybe 15.
Really, and yet you still look like you're 15. So
I think I look at least 18, Mark.
Okay, yeah. The goatee and everything, that gets you to legal. That gets you to legal, at least.
Yeah. At least drinking age or old enough to own a firearm.
Yeah. And you've already, I think, had a really you've been more playing with what I would call local legends, you know. So you got your influences.
Real icons of the Oklahoma music scene. You know, I've done about 300 shows with the legendary, iconic Oklahoma national treasure, Peggy Johnson, you know. Yeah. And I know you've seen me with her a couple dozen times, probably.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then in 2014, I met Bob Moore from Slaughterville, and I've done about 300 shows with Bob, and he's fantastic. You know, he looks like homeless Santa Claus, but he's a mad scientist, crazy musician, poet, magician. You know, he's kind of an old wizard. I think that's the best way to describe him, don't you, Mark, is as a wizard.
Absolutely. Occasionally he gets a comparison to Jerry Garcia as well. He kind of has that. But I think he's out Garcia these days. So
He really has. Have you ever seen him with his Grateful band, Grateful Dead Tribute Act band?
I have not.
They're called the Living Dead. They play at the Deli, but I think they broke up 2 years ago, or maybe last year, Mark.
I have not. I've heard him do songs of the Grateful Dead, and I know he's been around long enough that when we had Paseo Junction. And I believe he actually also played at the first Paseo Festival that we put on back in 76. So
he's a legend. At Bruce Buckner's house. Yeah. Yeah, he truly is. He's an icon. He's a master, a world-class musician. You know, Paul Carrack from Eric Clapton's band in 2013 used the term top shelf or top drawer to mean of the highest quality and caliber. And that's really what Bob is. I think you would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And he's written now, a few of the iconic songs, one of them being his legalized marijuana song. I can't remember the name of it. Something, Apolitical Blues.
The title is The Reefer Blues.
A Reefer Blues, there we go. I've always thought that song should have been an international hit. It still could be, to this day could be.
Well, next year, Tommy Nelson is going to sign Bob to the Regard label.
Cool. Good.
So we're going to reissue his 2012 record, Hymn of the 21st Century. Do you have that record, Mark?
I do not.
Oh, you should get it. Now, the best song on there is called Barking at the Thunder. He wrote that in the 70s about his dog, Tasha, that always barked at the thunder when there's a lightning storm or a rainstorm or a thunderstorm. And he wrote that song. He thought the dog's barking at the thunder was like a metaphor for man communicating and talking with God.
Wow, nice, nice.
Yeah, that's a great song. It's a blues rock song. It's kind of like a Bob Dylan or a Tom Petty tune. And I play kind of a Eric Clapton, Duane Allman style guitar over it in E minor. You use the E minor pentatonic blues scale, which is based off the E minor and the B and C chord. And now here's what I want to talk about, Mark.
And so for that little bit, the whole audience went, "What? What did he just say?"
It was
alphabet letters, but what?
Yeah, I was dropping some science on their heads.
Yeah, no, I know. You're just trying to show off now, so
yeah.
So
what we need to talk about, Mark, is we have an event coming up. We are doing a fundraising benefit concert series for the Democratic candidate for Governor Connie Johnson.
Yes.
That is going to be October 20th at 8 p.m., maybe 9 p.m., at the Penn Theater at 14th and Penn on the east side of the road there on Pennsylvania Avenue and 14th. And that's going to feature Will Sexton from Bob Dylan's touring band, his road band. He's going to do a solo acoustic set. I'm going to play with him some. And then the Zen Okies from Tulsa and Oklahoma City, Jim Suter, Stephen Field, and James Coffey on bass. And Jim is just an Oklahoma legend. I know you saw him at the Back Alley Gallery in 2014 or 2015.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he's
amazing. And he's one of the great. He's one of the greatest guitar players of Oklahoma ever, of all time. You know, he's top drawer, top shelf, world class, and the band is really tight. They do some Tom Petty, they do some Muddy Waters, they do a little Led Zeppelin. I think they do Dancing Days. I think you heard them play that at the Gallery Alley. And then the Space Dog Jones Trio is reuniting for the first time in 2 or 3 years. Now that's going to be me, Bob Moore, Space Dog on bass. I'm on guitar, and we've got Michael Newberry. Michael Newberry's on the drums. And, you know, Mike is one of the greatest drummers of Oklahoma. You know, he played with the Fenzix, he played with the Fortune Tellers, and he was in Watermelon Slim's road band in 2012 and 13. And I saw him in 2014. We opened for him with Bob and Jimmy Suter and Tony Mack on bass. He was on drums, but he's the old bass player from the Zen Okies before he went to prison for pot, of course. He had a grow operation. And then Otis Moon and the Unforgiven is going to play the main set. We're going to play for about 1.5 or 2 hours. And Mark, tell everybody a little bit about Otis Moon and the Unforgiven and your thoughts and perspective on the band. Because I know you've heard us two or three times now.
It's another one of those bands that I'm gonna mention something, and this ties into you, that has happened recently in music. There was this big void about a decade and a half where younger musicians just kind of thought they had invented music.
Right.
And they were like, fuck the roots, fuck the people who were around before them, the people they could be learning from. Well, they didn't. but you did, and people started doing it. So now you have this band that spans what, at least three decades, maybe more. And some of the most phenomenal musicians in Oklahoma, and not just that, I believe that they pushed your, they broadened your musical repertoire and perspective a lot, because Wayne's style is so unique. It's just unique. And
well, it's kind of Santa Fe, Tex-Mex, blues rock, and country, and a little bit of Django Reinhardt jazz.
Yeah. Exactly, and a lot of the same political, social political satire that, that Bob Moore throws into his. So I think it's appropriate that, that you guys are all playing there, because honestly, it's the alternative kind of music in the same way that Connie is the alternative candidate. And
right, absolutely.
And I think that's just appropriate. So, and so what is the Penn Theater? Is it the old movie theater that used to be there?
It's the old movie theater that was there in about 76. Did you ever go there, Mark?
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
What, do you remember what films you've seen there?
I do not, actually, because I'm old.
Well, my dad and my mom, when they were dating, or they may have just gotten married back in the 80s, I think they married in like 79 or 81 or 82. You know my parents, Gary and Paula Jones. You know them real well. They're wonderful people. They're fantastic. They saw the first Indiana Jones film there, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Wow! I'm really happy to see these venues coming back as music venues. I think that's phenomenal.
Well, you know, it got bought by a guy named John Hall, who is moving the Trolley Shop record store there, and Otis Moon and our band, we remodeled it. You know, Otis is a great architect from Santa Fe.
Yes, absolutely.
He's pretty well known. And cool. we built a stage there that's about 30 feet by 15 feet. It's about 6 feet off the ground, maybe 4 or 5 feet. And
we're about to go to break again, so I'm going to keep you on, and I want to wrap up this when we get back from the break still.
How long will the break be?
All right.
Get a kick out of the warning labels companies attach to prevent lawsuits from the hooky crooky of this world. A warning label on a dishwasher cautioned not to put any person in the unit. Speaking of dishwashers, one product warning on a television remote control read, not dishwasher safe. That's too bad, because we know how dirty the remote control gets. In fact, we press the buttons even harder when we know the battery is dead. What are we, part of the Ridiculati? A warning on a baby stroller read, remove child before folding. Here's one for the blunderbusses and popinjays among us. A label on a letter opener read, safety goggles recommended. Call me snarky, but any society that needs this many disclaimers has too many lawyers, pettifoggers, and snollygosters.
It's Merging Neighborhood.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, marlatabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
Family, and we're back on Red State Revolt. JL and I just talked through the break. So for anybody listening, you know that the best conversations happen during the break, and you'll just never know what those are about. That's when we talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So
we're talking about German scat porn.
Yeah. Okay.
Which of course is my favorite.
That is more than anybody needed to know right there.
Edit that out, Mark.
Yeah. Too late. We went live. Oh, shit. We need the delay. We need that 5-second Colbert delay, you know, to bleep it out.
Do you watch Colbert's show?
Yes, I do. I try to watch his opening monologue because, honestly, that's the best news source on TV anymore.
Yeah, it's, really. Who's the other guy? Dave Marr.
I think
Stephen Colbert's is great, but I really miss David Letterman. You know,
yes,
Letterman
so do
was
I.
my favorite. Now, in 2012, or maybe 2013, no, it was in October 2012, I flew to New York City by invitation from Jacob Dylan there at Columbia Records. And he gave me 2 tickets to see the Wallflowers perform from their new record, Glad's All Over, on the David Letterman show, on The Late Show, with Letterman. So we went to the Ed Sullivan Theater, we saw the show, we ate some popcorn, and then we came back that night about 8 or 9 o'clock, and they did a 1 hour, 45-minute concert that was broadcast live on the internet. Now, here's the neatest thing, Mark, is I got to hang out with Jacob Dylan in the green room, and we had some cocktails and smoked a little weed, and then we went on his bus, a Mercedes Sprinter van. Have you ever seen one of those?
I have not, no.
Oh, they're great. They're a big, like, 12-foot-tall van. They have, like, fucking bathrooms and TVs and a shower in them and everything. It's a great touring bus. It cost about $76,000, $75,000 or $76,000.
Wow. We actually installed granite floors in Toby Keith's touring bus one time. That was
really
kind of interesting, yeah, when we were doing his house.
I didn't know you knew Toby.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
Well,
okay,
well,
so
here's what
Connie
happened.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and wrap that up. And then I want to make sure that everybody knows about the event. You said you wanted to put the price of the tickets out, and let's, like, give all that information. So let me
tell you real quick. Jacob Dylan let me play his guitar. That's a 1971 or 72, maybe 73. It's a Martin B28 acoustic with a natural finish. Now, his dad, Bob Dylan, gave that to him, Bob Dylan. And that is the guitar he wrote Tangled Up in Blue and Simple Twisted Fate on, and I actually got to play that guitar.
Wow, nice.
Is that not fucking amazing?
Okay, so question, does a guitar like that really sound different than, say, your guitar?
Well, because it's older, because it's about 47 years old, Mark. Mark, the wood ages and becomes more porous, and the grain becomes more chambered. So it sounds bigger, and it projects more.
Okay. Yeah, no, I've heard that. I know the old Martins and the old Guilds are highly valued for that reason. So,
well, you know, that guitar is worth about $1,200,000. But of course, he'll never sell it because it's nostalgic, and sentimental.
Right.
Now, I actually prefer Gibson acoustics. You've seen me play with 2 Gibsons. I have a natural finish Sunburst Gibson CL20 from 1997 or 98, which is the prototype for the Songwriter model, or the Songbirds model. And I have a Gibson J45, which is their flagship guitar. And that's about a $3,000 guitar.
Not quite a million, but close.
No, it's getting
someday,
up there, you know.
Someday it could be. You never know.
I think, you know, as I become famous and sell platinum records and become more popular, my guitars are going to become valuable assets. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And they already are. They really already are. You know, I've got about $7,000 worth of gear between 3 guitars, my PA system, my keyboard, and the software and computers I have. You know, so I got a pretty good little arsenal. But okay, let's talk about Connie Johnson. That event is October 20th, 8 p.m. Doors open at 7 or 7:30. We're going to have popcorn and drinks and beer and stuff. And she's going to speak and sing with us on A Change Is Going to Come. That's the Zen Okies, the Space Dog Jones Trio with Bob Space Dog Moore and Michael Newberry on drums, myself on guitars. Will Sexton is opening the show. He's going to do an acoustic set, do a few numbers with me playing. He's going to play about 45, 50 minutes. And then the Zen Okies and the Space Dog Jones Band Trio Act. And then it's Otis Moon and the Institute. Now, Mark, tell people a little bit about your perspective on Otis Moon. Tell them about the genre. Tell them about the shows you've seen. Because you've seen us two or three times, I think.
I have. And honestly, I think Wayne is one of the phenomenal songwriters out there.
He had
the super long break where he didn't perform for a really long
time. Right, I heard about that. For about 10, 15 years.
Yeah, yeah. And then he picked it back up, and he teamed up with you. And I said earlier, you know, that there's a, I don't know, what is it, 30, 35 years between the two of you in age, but and then you throw in Michael Newberry, who I've also known for about 35 years from the days Paseo Junction, and he's a phenomenal drummer. So this entire band is stellar musicians. I think people will be really impressed.
And
I said earlier, it's also a band that goes against the grain.
It really does, Mark.
So I'm looking forward to that. I know.
Tell them about what genre and about the characterization of the music.
Well, I mean, you mentioned earlier about three or four genres that they fit in, because I don't know. I mean, I feel like he fits somewhere between a little bit of Red Dirt, a little bit of R&B, a little bit of a Deep South kind of Memphis blues and rock in there. It's just like this really interesting blend, you know, of about
absolutely.
It's like he's been traveling around and he absorbed all the genres of the Midwest and South.
Yeah, it's very Southern, it's very Tex-Mex, and there's a lot of Santa Fe influence, because, you know, he lived in Santa Fe for about 25 years.
Okay. See,
and he also lived in Nashville and Austin and Memphis, Tennessee. He had an apartment on Beale Street.
And all of that makes sense, because that is kind of the morphing of all those styles that have influenced his work over the years.
Right. And, you know, the crazy thing is he never writes anything down. All of his songs are in his head until he records them. He's never written a lyric down. He's never written a chord chart. And he's written well over 370 songs.
Okay. Have you guys been recording them yet? Because I would advise you to record them, because Wayne's going to live another 30 years, but none of us are getting any younger. So for posterity's sake, these need to be put down.
Well, we've tracked six or seven songs, Mark. We're recording out at Doug Matthews' studio. That's our bass player. Him and his woman, Tammy Joseph, fill out the rest of the band. I know you saw them at IAO and at the Blue Moon.
Both of them very good, by the way. Good additions to the band.
Yeah, well, you know, Tammy sings a tenor harmony, and she shakes some shakers, she rattles a tambourine around, and she dances a little bit. You know, she's a beautiful woman, and she's got a real, kind of like a Bonnie Raitt, Sheryl Crow kind of voice, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And the second time I saw you guys play, she was contributing a lot more than she was the first time. I could tell that she's integrating herself into the band a lot more.
Well, she's really grown a lot, Mark. Mark, she's grown and expanded her abilities quite a bit. And she's really, you know, she makes this a real powerhouse project, you know. This band is dynamite. We're like canned heat. We're like white light and fire, you know. It's just a time bomb that's waiting to go off until we get to the next show. But we're working on a record. The title is Out to Kill. I think that's a great fucking title, don't you?
Yeah, agreed. All right, so pretty soon there will be a Facebook event page for this benefit concert for Connie Johnson for Governor. And this is really good, because Connie is running a grassroots campaign, and I told Connie about 6 or 8 months ago that this is how her campaign needs to run. It needs to be not just cut and dried, kind of boring events. You need to morph this whole energy together, you know, and I think this is really a great step in that direction. I appreciate you guys doing it. I know Connie does as well. So,
well, it's our pleasure, Mark. It's absolutely, the pleasure is all mine and the band, you know.
Okay. Thank you. I'll tell you what we're also going to do. About a week before the show, I want to get you, I'll get Connie on as well, and then if you want to pull in a couple of other musicians, Wayne, or whoever you'd like to get on, we'll just sit down and kind of talk, spend the whole show talking about her campaign, how it's moving forward, and how the music all fits into it. Because again, between Bob Moore and between what Wayne writes, these are very social political writers. There's a lot of
they really are. You know, have you heard Bob's song, It's Not Black and White or Cargo Plane?
Yes, absolutely.
They're very social political songs.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Bob, it's kind of he's kind of an activist. Like, you know, we played the pot and the hemp and the marijuana's rally at the Capitol in 2014 in January.
Yep.
And that's actually the first time I played with Bob.
Yep.
Now,
I didn't know that. See, that Brittany and I organized that. So that
I know. That was a great event. That was a really cool show. Now, it was actually Chabon's Tiger that introduced me to Bob.
Okay. Yeah, and I've known Chabon as well for a very long time, and Chabon's a brilliant player in his own. Oh, Oklahoma has a lot of brilliant players that people don't know about.
Well, we have the best players and the best writers and the best acts and bands, but we don't have a fucking audience like they
do in
Austin
right.
or Nashville.
That's right. They,
you know, people,
they get an,
people
they get an
to,
audience
people,
when they leave and get famous, and then they come back.
Yeah.
So
that's how it works, and you know. We don't have an audience like they have in Memphis or Austin or Portland or Nashville, you know, because people are too wrapped up with OU Sooner football, you know, Boomer Sooner, baby. I'm all about that, but I don't want it to distract from the music. And people go to the casinos. You know, 10, 15 years ago, before there were no casinos in Oklahoma, live music clubs like JJ's Alley, Friends, Bourbon Street, the Cove Club were packed. You had 300-500 people in there every night. And musicians were getting paid $700-$900 guaranteed. Now the crowds are thin. Everybody goes to the fucking casinos for their entertainment, which is a waste of time and money. And there's only about 25 people show up to the clubs, and the bands only get paid $300-$400. You know about?
It's Merging Never Heard.
Any emergency room nurse will tell you they receive some weird and wild calls. I used to be the night ER nurse at Hennepin County General Hospital in Minneapolis, and remember getting a call from someone who was worried about if it mattered or not if their belly button was an innie or an outie. It doesn't matter, but if you're an outie, you are definitely the minority. Still, that's good news, because you don't have to worry about a little problem that people with innies have. Pledge it. That's another word for belly button lint. Researchers say the color of the pledget in your belly button is related to the clothing you wear, just like the lint that collects in your clothes dryer. A friend of mine from the Philippines says they call it a chikachu. What do you call a person who's obsessed with their belly button? An omphalopsychite.
It's Merging Never Heard.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
This is DV Kidd from NewsWithViews.com. My new book, Taking Politics Out of Solutions, is now available. Why is it nothing changes no matter who you vote for? My book covers the most critical issues eating this country alive, as well as the solutions that are already there that Congress and the agenda-driven media don't want you to know. From the disaster of our economy, why we will never have any economic freedom until the Fed is abolished, trade, the meltdown underway called Obamacare, the truth about Social Security and Medicare, and the fraudulent ratification of the 17th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, a very big issue that affects every American. The answers and solutions are in my book that all Americans need to read, because the worst is coming at us like a freight train. To order, please call 1-800-955-0116.
We are back on Red State Revolt. I'm your host, Mark Falk. That was J.L. Jones, who has helped me to organize a fundraiser and musical rally for Connie Johnson in October, and we'll keep everybody informed on that and let you know. We'll let you know when there's an event page for it. It's going to be at the theater on Penn, which is, I think, just called Penn Theater. It's about 14th and Penn. It's another one of those old movie theaters in Oklahoma that we allowed to just kind of come apart at the seams, and they all became decrepit. And there used to be several beautiful ones downtown, the Criterion and several of those, that we bulldozed so we could put up big, ugly steel and glass buildings. But then we saved a couple. When we built the Oklahoma City Art Museum, we all spoke out against them tearing down the Center Theater, which was where Midnight Movies started in Oklahoma, and you used to could go there and see, for instance, Rocky Horror Picture Show as a midnight movie, and everybody would dress up, and the place smelled like marijuana. It doesn't now, but it did back then. And then the Tower Theater was recently fixed up again. The Plaza Theater over in the Plaza District is now used by Lyric Theater as one of their places for live events and for play performances. So now apparently Penn Theater is being revived as a musical venue. And this is what cities that have thriving music and thriving arts and entertainment do. And JL mentioned this before he went off the air, and I want to second this sentiment, and that's that Oklahoma produces some of the greatest players, singer-songwriters, musicians, and to put it bluntly, I have watched some of them just die homeless. And I hate to bring it back around to something depressing, but that's actually true, and everybody, I've talked about Robin Cardi, a friend of mine who passed away about a year ago, but also I've had that happen with some other brilliant songwriters. We have just lost them, and I believe that partially it's because we don't properly support this creative outpouring in Oklahoma, and I believe that Oklahoma is creative. Not just for the visual artists, but also for musicians, poets. We've got Lauren Zunigan, some incredible poets here, spoken word people, just a whole dancers. We have a very broad spectrum, filmmakers like myself. We have a lot of people who are talented, but most of them leave. And they leave, and then they become famous, and then 10 years later or 5 years later or whatever, Vince Gill, who did his 18th birthday at Paseo Junction when we had that on Paseo, and then left. And then 3 years later, you went, oh, well, hell, Vince Gill is now a national star. That's happened time and time and time and time again to Oklahoma. If we were smart, we would embrace our local musical roots and our local entertainers, and we would begin to get out and support them, and we begin to pack these venues. And if you're listening and you're into the social political aspect of everything, in October, and I can't remember the date, but we'll get that date for you. In October will be the Connie Johnson fundraiser featuring some of the best musicians in Oklahoma, and some of them are nationally known. So this is a chance to, and I would encourage progressive candidates to do this more. All of you conservative candidates, just keep doing that crap you're doing, because apparently it's working out pretty well for you. But we have to become creative in how we run our campaigns. And I say that, I'd like to keep that as a deeply held secret for myself in case I run again. You know, but I'm not sure that I will. I'm not sure that I'll run for office in the near future. I've talked about running for Corporation Commission because I have a really good idea for a commercial, but that doesn't mean anything. So, but I will say this, we have to get creative, and we have to support our local musicians, and we have to understand that in the deep earth of Oklahoma and in the political oppression and the social oppression and the tough things that we go through as human beings in Oklahoma, creative outbursts happen. And that's important. And I would encourage all of you to begin to look to your own talents and your own abilities. If you're into social political issues, I would encourage you to get creative about that. Find new ways to win. Find ways like we did with Larry Yarbrough. Find ways like we did when we went to the state capitol. And I mentioned earlier, I want to go ahead and wrap that up because I'm coming full circle on this commentary. When we went to the state capitol and we called out 7%, it was 7% or shut down, hashtag 7% or shut down, using that. And what we're saying is that our government's going bankrupt anyway in Oklahoma. We have to stand strong that corporations pay their fair share. And these compromises that people like Scott Inman at the time, they told him not to meet with us. To his credit, he came down and spoke with us towards the end. But he was told not to meet with us because they were working out a compromise. And the compromise was, we're going to let you keep half of your corporate welfare, and our state will still be bankrupt, and public education will still be dying, and mental health will still not be dealt with, and that will lead people into the private prisons and into the streets of homelessness. But guess what, oil companies, you're rich enough. Pay your fair share. We all pay our taxes. Devon, Chesapeake, Sandridge, pay your fair share. This is not that complicated. Continental's not that complicated. Pay your fair share. So a couple of things coming up. And what happened at that, I'm going to wrap that up real quickly. When we were at the Capitol, and I don't want to get into it because it disgusts me, but Mary Fallon's personal aide, her personal assistant, was trying to do upskirt shots of one of the protesters. He picked the wrong one because this young lady, Sarah Banna, is one of the most dedicated and fearless and courageous warriors that I know. And I'm happy to call her a fellow activist and a friend. And I was there with about 15 of the strongest women you will ever meet. And I am telling you, as the change in America happens and the change in Oklahoma happens, I hope to be a part of it. But it will be led by, and it will be pushed by, and it will be implemented by the sensibilities and the courage of the women of Oklahoma. This is where the strength lies in our state. We try to, and I don't mean we, meaning you as our listeners, me as a human being, but the patriarchy in Oklahoma and the misogyny in Oklahoma tries to beat these women down, and it takes a toll on these women, and I've watched many of these women suffer. But by God, these are the people we need to look to for leadership. It is our job to protect them so that they can go out and lead us. If that makes sense. If you're a male and you want to use your patriarchy in a positive way, use it to help women tear down and destroy patriarchy and misogyny in Oklahoma and in Oklahoma City and at the state capitol and in America. End result of what happened on the 7% or shutdown protest, that personal assistant of Mary Fallon's resigned shortly afterward. He was charged with a felony. He tried to destroy evidence. He was supposed to turn his phone on, and he said, "Yeah, I'll turn it in after I go fishing." He went fishing and somehow launched his phone into the lake, and whoops, all the evidence was destroyed. And he also tried to wipe clean his computer, so he destroyed the evidence. But he has been charged. The highway patrolman who harassed us, who put his hands on me, who put his hands on several of the fellow protesters, including women, and who verbally abused us and who wanted to arrest us and who had his hand on his gun for peaceful protesters, he shortly afterwards, he resigned. And now the discussion is about two things. It is about the oppression at the state capitol, and I feel proud to have been a part of that group. I'm not saying I did that because Sarah and Kate Wilde, Bronwyn, Nadine, Angela, Sharia Moore, so many people were there, and I know I'm forgetting a lot of them right now, but there were so many people there who stepped up and did the right thing, and these are strong women. So I suggest as men that our job, I posit this to you, our job is to give them a safe environment, to run a little bit of interference so that they can become the people leading our state in a new evolution and in a new revolution. And that's a wrap up of that. So community meeting, Monday, September 17th. I'm going to click on this. It is at Crown Heights Christian Church. I'll give you all the information. It is at 6:30, Crown Heights Christian Church on 40th and Western. And we will be there to discuss another case of corporate overreach. We'll be there to discuss Brahms wanting to bulldoze Class and Circle, that little corner up there, which includes the Hilo, it includes the Drunken Fry, it includes Class and Grill, it includes these a landmark building. And we don't want to hate Brahms. We don't want to boycott Brahms, but we will. What we want them to do is be good corporate citizens. What we want the oil companies to do is be good corporate citizens. What we want the people at the Capitol to do is be good citizens and protect us and step up for the rights of the people and quit just catering to big money. Special shout out, we're about out of time, to Jacob Rosecrans for winning his race. And to everybody in his campaign and all the volunteers, you guys did an amazing job. I love you for that. Again, I'm going to say that was mostly women who were backing him up on that. So be put on notice. This is what's going to happen in Oklahoma. We have to make change. We have to do it now. Get with me on the initiative petition that is still happening. We're going to get money to teachers. So these things are happening. We're moving forward. Have hope. Have faith. Be good to each other. We will see you next week on Red State Revolt. I love all of you. Thank you for tuning in.